Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to the beginning, the front page of the book of Philippians. And we're going to do our best to introduce this book, and then we'll probably expound just a few verses, and then we will be done with this evening. But once again, I'm just so blessed to be back here on a Wednesday night. Praise God. So let's go to the screen right up here. Praise God. Praise God. And once again, the introduction is the book of Philippians, and we're going to be expounding verses 1 through 7. But we do have some introductions to cover. So just bear with us as we further go into the book of Philippians. So, number one, the purpose. The purpose of the Philippians writing, according to Paul the Apostle, was to thank the Philippians for the gift that they had sent Paul and to strengthen these believers by showing them that true joy comes from Jesus Christ alone. And I just want to piggyback on that. Listen, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and the great exchange takes place, your heart repents before a holy God, and then the blood covers you by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then he fills you with his Spirit of promise. You are now filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And for 32 years, I am so thankful that I've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps you going. It's the power of God, the anointing of God. Because when the anointing of God comes on a person's life, it breaks the yokes, the bondages, the things that we were entangled with, especially in our BC years before Christ. But when we are now new creatures in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so Paul was addressing to the Philippians that joy unspeakable and full of glory. This whole entire epistle is about giving thanks unto God. And Paul was mighty thankful that God allowed him to come all the way to Philippi to preach the gospel and to plant a wonderful, beautiful church. And so what an apostle is one who is sent by God to do a work. And there are many wonderful, wonderful men of God that still do this today. Amen. Amen. So let's go back to our screen here. Here we go. Let's look at this. The author. The author of Philippians is Paul the Apostle. Praise God. Praise God. Now, who was the audience? The audience is all the Christians at Philippi and all the believers everywhere. Listen, 2,000 years have passed already, has gone by, and yet we are still reading the book of Philippians. Wow. And all the other epistles in the New Testament. And the majority of the epistles were written by Paul the Apostle. He's one of the greatest apostles to have ever lived. And let me just say this. Everything that he has written, number one, it edifies, it builds our faith, and some of it is even prophetic on things yet to be established. Like, for instance, he indicated in the book of Romans that all Israel will be saved. Well, that's in the near future. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go back here. Let's look at this. The date written, approximately AD 61, from Rome during Paul's imprisonment there. Let me just pause there. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was chained up in prison. My goodness. One would think that if you're in prison, you know, that depression sets in, woe is me, you know, and never thinking that maybe, just maybe, you're in prison for the rest of your life. But Paul had hope. Paul had joy. Paul had the anointing of God. Now, let me just say this as well, that his accommodations there was not like Donovan's prison. You know, Donovan's prison that's close by to here in the South Bay, they have all the amenities. They have flat screen TVs. They got hot and cold running showers. They have toilets. You know, they have all those commodities. They have every modern facilitated dorm rooms. I like to say they're dorm rooms. And yet Paul the Apostle, when he was in prison back then, they didn't have any of that stuff that I just mentioned. No, they were chained to one another. And just imagine that many of them had to urinate and go to the bathroom right where they were chained up to. And you can imagine it was rat infested, roach infested. Yes, they didn't have quote unquote state codes. No. No, he had to bear it all. He had to go through. He had to learn the grace of God, the mercy of God, the awesome power of God. And many of us who go through situations of life, we can look back at the life of Paul and say, thank you, God, that even though my trial is tough and even though what I'm going through right now, it's tough to endure, but it pales into comparison to what Paul had to go through. We all know that Paul was beaten with steel rods. He was tossed out of a two-story building. He was bitten by poisonous snakes. He was shipwrecked. He was robbed by his own countrymen. He was mocked and ridiculed for the gospel's sake. Yes, he had to endure these things. And yet God strengthened him. God would send angels to him. God would provide for him. And he was filled with incredible joy from the Holy Ghost. And so, my friends, we have to look at the life of Paul and look at these epistles that he wrote for you and I, that we would glean off them, that we can encourage one another and say, hey, we can make it. If he made it, we can make it. What's too hard for God? And that's what we have to come to an understanding. What is too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for God. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Oh, that's right. Jesus is the hope of glory. The Bible says that if we lift up Jesus, if we lift him up, he will draw all men unto himself. And that's what we want to do. We want to magnify the Lord, and we want to boast about what he has done in our lives. And we want to preach and teach the things of God. And a lot of it was done through the epistles of Paul and several of the other apostles' written books too, but Paul the majority. And what he had to write down, it still is effective today as it was then. So let's move on to this right here. The setting. What was the setting? The setting was Paul and his companions began the church at Philippi and his second missionary trip. This was the first church established on the European continent. The Philippian church had sent a gift with Epaphroditus and one of their members to be delivered to Paul. Paul was in a Roman prison at the time, and he wrote this letter to thank for their gift and to encourage them in their faith. Wow. Wow, that's extraordinary. That's extraordinary, my friends. And we need to look at what was the key verse? What was the key verse? The key verse is this right here. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice. Now, as I mentioned, saints, as I just mentioned, it's very difficult to rejoice when you're imprisoned. And many people were imprisoned. He was chained up to probably murderers and robbers and people that did wicked things. And yet, even though he understood what God delivered him from, and that he was killing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave him ears to hear and eyes to see, that the zeal that he had would be turned for the Lord. You got to remember, he thought he was doing an excellent job. He thought he was doing the work of God to destroy the way. The Christians at that time were called the way. And so he thought that he was doing the things of the Lord. So his zeal needed to be shifted to understand that he wasn't doing this for the Lord. He was actually doing it against the Lord's will. And so Paul came to that understanding. He came to that conclusion. Praise God. And so, saints, the word happiness evokes visions of unwrapping gifts on Christmas morning, like some of us did. Strolling hand in hand with the one that you love. Being surprised on your birthday, responding with unbridled laughter to a comedian, or vacationing in an exotic island or locale. Oh, that's right. Everyone wants to be happy. How many of you at home want to be happy? Amen. And we make chasing this elusive ideal a lifelong pursuit, spending money, collecting things, and searching for new experiences. But if happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when the toys rust? When loved ones die? Health deteriorates? Maybe money is even stolen? And the party's over now. Often happiness flees and despair sits in. And so this is why Paul had to encourage the Philippian church to stand, to continue, to contend for the faith. And so, saints of God, in contrast to happiness, stands joy. Running deeper and deeper and stronger. Joy is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and his work in our life, that he will be there no matter what happens. Can I get an amen in the house? Happiness depends on happenings, praise God. But joy depends on Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, my joy depends on Christ and Christ alone. You know, I get thrills in life. There's happiness. Oh, yes. But also on the flip side of that, there's sorrow. There's grieving. There's mourning. There's loss. Sometimes there's even despair. But what comes from the Holy Spirit of God is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, Philippians is Paul's joy letter. And once you start diving in to the book of Philippians, you'll find out no matter what circumstance Paul found himself in, he had tremendous joy. And the church back then had tremendous joy. You see, my friends, the church in that Macedonian city had been a great encouragement to Paul. The Philippian believers had enjoyed a very special relationship with Paul. So he wrote them, praise God, a personal expression of his love and affection. And saints of God, they had brought him great joy. Why? Because they were contending for the faith. That's right. That's right. They were becoming, they were learning to be obedient unto God. And they were carrying the gospel message, and the church flourished. Why? It grew because they preached the gospel. They understood the message of repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And so we know that great and wonderful scripture found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. And so the Philippians is also a joyful book, saints of God, because it emphasizes the real joy of the Christian life. That's right. You see, my friends, the concept of rejoicing or joy appears 16 times in four chapters. What? And the pages radiate this positive message. Praise God, culminating an exhortation to always, always, always be full of the joy of the Lord. And so, saints, in a life dedicated to serving Christ, Paul had faced excruciating poverty. Oh, that's right. Poverty and abundant health and everything in between. He even wrote this, saints of God, a joyful letter from prison, as I indicated earlier. And whatever the circumstances, Paul had learned to be content, finding real joy as he focused all of his attention and energy on knowing Christ and learning. This is the key, learning to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Can we truly acknowledge and say to the Lord, oh God, because of the joy that you filled me with the day that I got saved. Oh God, can I learn? Can I continue to be obedient unto you? That should be our desire. That should be birth in us the moment we got saved, because God exposed something to us and he disclosed something to us that we never saw before in our unsaved days. He showed us the cross. He showed us that Christ died for our sin and that now God is high and lifted up. And our lives now depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and take us home with him. You see, my friends, Paul's desire to know Christ above all else is wonderfully expressed in the following words. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, hallelujah, the Lord Christ himself. He went on to say, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. That should be our prayer. Despite of the blessings, despite of the heartaches, despite of our ups and downs, because every day we live in a roller coaster ride of emotions. Some days we feel great and we're doing fine. Some days we feel like we're in the dump. But despite of all that, is Christ in me the hope of glory? Is Christ the hope of glory living in you? That's my question, my friends. And I hope that you could glean off this Bible study tonight and be reminded. Maybe some of you are going through a hard time right now. I'm here to let you know that that soon shall pass as well, and that the joy of the Lord will be our strength, saints of God. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints, as a result, you and I, we can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. You and I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Praise God. Praise God. And may we share Paul's aspiration and seek to know Jesus Christ more and more every day that God gives us. Rejoice with Paul in Philippians and rededicate yourself if you need to rededicate yourself to finding joy in Christ, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Saints of God, you and I have been given another brand new year. It's the year 2022. Who would have thought that you would be plugged in right now in the year 2022? If you go back to your unsaved days, knowing what we used to be involved in, knowing what God delivered us from, knowing that we lived the life of rebellion toward God, and now we're taking notes tonight, and we're reading about the life of Paul, the book of Philippians, who would have thought in 2022 that that would be you and I? But it was the plan of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God that has been bestowed upon you and I by faith. And so rejoice, 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 for we have been given a brand new year, and God wants us to fulfill the race, the call in our life. We're in a race. and we are to win the race. Can I get amen? We are to cross the finish line. And that's what you and I need to come into an understanding, especially in the year 2022. Now, according to the Messianic Hebraic teachers, possibly this Rosh Hashanah, in this year now that we're in 2022, but in September when Rosh Hashanah, meaning the Feast of Trumpets, began, it will start a brand new Shemitah cycle, meaning another brand new 7 years. And according to Daniel, according to Revelation, the tribulation is a 7-year period. And many, many, many horrific things have started at the beginning of a 7-year Shemitah cycle. World War I, World War II, the destruction of the temples, the Holocaust. Oh yes, the list goes on. And pray that I would put a prophetic message regarding these, the book of Revelation and Daniel, to illustrate that, is it possible this Rosh Hashanah, the starting of a brand new Shemitah cycle, will trigger the tribulation? All I know is this. Matthew 24 indicates that there would be birth pains before the tribulation. And what did he say we would see? We would see earthquakes in various places. We would see apostasy. People that were once on fire for God no longer are living for God. They went out back into the world. They're no longer in church. He said we would see pestilences. Look at this COVID. For 3 years now, it's been upon our country and around the world. And many have died from it. Oh, that's right. God said we would see that. He also went on to say we would see wars and rumors of wars. He also said there would be false prophets and false Christ. And be careful on these false prophets. Many of them will come and say, thus saith the Lord, and have no Bible scripture to back it up. Be careful, my friends. We're living in the times that Jesus said we would see right before the return. Now, I want you to catch this before we break down verses 1 through 7 in Philippians chapter 1. But I need you to see this. In Revelation chapter 22, there's a scripture there that I do not have it here on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, go there to Revelation 22. And it says there, God says, let the filthy be filthy, remain filthy. He said, let the unrighteous remain unrighteous. He said, let the holy remain unholy. I want you to catch three things. Once again, he said, let the filthy remain filthy. Let the unrighteous remain unrighteous. Let the unholy remain unholy. But then he goes on to say, let the righteous remain righteous, and let the holy remain holy. Now, I wanted clarity. I read that so many times. And it came now to an understanding through this one precious rabbi named Rabbi Schneider. He broke it down, and he explained it perfectly. Is we all know that before Jesus Christ comes, the Antichrist needs to come to the forefront. And so he indicated that the darkness is a matter, all that we see right now, all the birth pains, we've seen 7 states get wiped out by tornadoes. We're seeing people drop dead in COVID and plagued with we're seeing earthquakes everywhere. We're seeing all this. He said it's a manifestation of the darkness. God's not sending these things. No. And God wouldn't. But let me just say this. Because God will not pour out his wrath on his church. His bride. We are the bride of Christ. So if we are the bride of Christ, he's preserving us for that day to take us home. So it's not him pouring out the wrath. It's a manifestation of the darkness. And so the darkness has to reach a crescendo of sin. And so when sin has risen as a crescendo, basically what that means is the majority of the world will no longer look to God for their problems and for the answers. They're going to look for a man who is the Antichrist. And so what we're seeing is God's plan. And God is withdrawing his restraint from the world. Oh, yes, he is. He's pulling back the restrainer, which is the Holy Spirit, because he's allowing the darkness to impede so that the Antichrist could come on the scene and the majority will turn to this man of sin. And then that's when Jesus will come and destroy the man of sin, the man of perdition, and throw the false prophet as well into the lake of fire. And God will set up his millennial reign. Oh yes, saints of God, this is God's plan. So I want to encourage you to hang on. Don't throw in the towel. Keep believing and trusting that God's going to work out those issues of our life. He's going to straighten out relationships. He's going to help you financially. He's going to help you physically. He's going to help your health. All we have to do is do the practical things. And one of them is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and watch what he will do with the life that's totally surrendered unto him. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is for us, not against us. He that lives in us is greater than he that lives in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? There are so many scriptures that God is for us, the church. And that's why he said, those that are holy remain holy. Those are the remnant. We are the remnant. You and I, in the days that we live in, there's a remnant that's still looking to Jesus, that's still on fire, that still want God to be the King and Lord of their life. And that's you and I, saints of God. And we got to learn to trust God in the situations we're in. Oh, that's right. And one other thing that has captivated, that has infiltrated this generation is the social media, being addicted to the phone. Have you ever been to restaurants, malls, in the park, even just driving around, and people are on that phone 24/7? It has basically, it's destroying their soul, especially those who are addicted to pornography and to things that are contrary to God's word. Because a lot of the far progressive left, to me, that are led by demons, is infiltrated the entire media structure. Unless you know where to turn to edify yourself through the word of God, and there's wonderful ministries that you can find. But the majority of society is not looking for the word of God on their phone. They're looking for other things. And so we're seeing that our society is eroding. It's decaying. It's become depraved. And this is why we need God in these last days, my friends. And if the messianic teachers are true in their study that Rosh Hashanah in September, the Feast of Trumpets, could it be that the tribulation kicks in? I want to go on to say that you see these clouds right behind us. Jesus will come in the clouds for us and to take us away, because we're not appointed unto wrath. Can I get an amen in the house? So let's move on, my friends. Let's move on. And let's look at Philippians 1:1-7. And the word of God reads, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And in verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Praise God. Praise God. So let's go back and look at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi and with the bishops and the deacons. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the Lord Jesus understood that Paul had a plan laid out before him, and the undisputed saints of God, the undisputed, praise God, author of this letter is the Apostle Paul himself, and he was a missionary to the Gentiles in prison in Rome for preaching the gospel. Paul had founded the church in Philippi, so the recipients of this letter were his dear friends and children in the faith. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul wrote this letter from Rome. He had arrived there through a series of unusual circumstances. He had been arrested in Jerusalem by the Romans for seemingly inciting a riot. As a prisoner being unjustly tried, Paul used the opportunity to get to Rome by appealing his case to Caesar. That's right. Paul wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, and he eventually got there in chains through shipwreck. And after many trials in Rome, Paul was under house arrest. This meant that he could receive visitors and write and receive letters. Praise God. This is how we God preserved those letters. Paul had to finance his imprisonment. In the book of Acts, it states that Paul had to pay for his own rented apartment there in Rome. Plus, he had to pay for the guards as required by Rome. You know what I loved about Paul? He never asked for money. He never asked people to support his ministry. Praise God, because he trusted in the Lord. And although Paul's normal policy was not to accept support from the churches so that he could not be what? Accused of having a profit motive. Praise God. He did accept a gift from the Philippians for his what? Support in prison. Paul had arrived in Rome around AD 59 and had spent 2 years under house arrest. Wow. And the letter to the Philippians was probably written toward the end of Paul's imprisonment there in AD 61. And so, my friends, we're starting to understand the grace and the mercy of God in the letter here that Paul wrote. Let's now move on to the next verse. In verse 2, he wrote on to say, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul used grace and peace as a standard greeting in all of his letters. Grace is God's undeserved favor, his loving kindness shown to sinners, whereby he saves them and gives them strength to live for him. Praise God. Peace refers to the peace that Christ made between sinners and God through his death on the cross. Saints of God, peace also refers to the inner assurance and tranquility that God places in the heart, producing what? Producing confidence and contentment in Christ. Only God can grant such wonderful gifts, saints of God. Paul wanted his readers to experience God's grace and peace in their daily living. And the phrase God, our Father, focuses on the family relationship among all believers as God's children. Praise God, praise God. And my friends, by using the phrase Lord Jesus Christ, Paul was pointing to Jesus as a full person of the Godhead. And he was recognizing Jesus' full deity. God the Father, praise God. God the Father, praise God. I want you to look at this next verse of scripture right here, saints of God. Look at this. He goes on to say, I thank my God, Jesus Christ, for remembrance of you. Look at that. Let's read that again. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Man, Paul was always thinking of the saints. He was always thinking of the church. His main focus was to see the church thrive and grow. There was nothing in it for him other than finding joy and tranquility in what he had planted, to watch it flourish under the anointing, under the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, saints, every time Paul thought about the Philippians, he gave thanks to God for them. The Philippian church had brought Paul much joy and little pain. And some of the churches had developed severe problems, and Paul's letters had focused on dealing with the problems. Paul's letter to the Philippians, while mentioning some concerns and giving some advice, could be considered a beautiful thank you note for their unwavering support. Praise God. Paul probably visited Philippi on 3 separate occasions. It's not very clear. Number one, let's look at this here. On the second missionary journey, when the gospel was planted, praise God, that was a strong possibility right there. And look, in Acts 16:12, it says, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and where we were staying in that city for some days. So it was pointed out right here through the scripture as the book of Acts followed the life of Paul later on in the letter. Now look at this. Number two, on his journey from Ephesus through Macedonia on his way to Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. So Paul, I'm telling you, he did not waste any time. He understood, saints of God, what his call was. And thirdly, look at this. On his way back to Jerusalem. That's right. He had a burden. Look at this in scripture. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined him at Troas, where he stayed 7 days. Praise God. On his way back to Jerusalem. Wow, saints. You see, while the length of time of each day is uncertain, his time with the Philippians had cemented a strong relationship. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 4. And in verse 4 it reads, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. And verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until what? Until now. Praise God. And so, saints, the words, I always pray for you, are in present tense, meaning that Paul was praying for them continually. And you and I are called to pray for one another continually. We need to pray not just for our church, but for other churches that were planted by the Holy Spirit, that they would grow in the grace. It's not about competition. It's not about their church, I want to be as big as their church, or whatever the case may be. It's not about competition. It's about God's grace. It's about God's mercy. It's about God's call. It's about God's plan for you and I. You see, my friends, Paul planted churches, and then he kept those churches in prayer as he continued his ministry. Praise God. Look what it says in Thessalonians right here. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22, look at this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, for you. And he goes on to say, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Wow, saints. That's one of the keys, to abstain, to obey. That's right. You know, one of the things that plagues the church, and it's probably plagued it for the past 2,000 years, but I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, but I can share what I have seen in the past 32 years as living for Christ. One of the things that I see that's so profound is brand new Christians that get saved and they have a hunger and thirst for God. They want to, they enjoy serving the body. They're pressing in. They're learning day by day the things of God. And then the enemy comes in like a flood and causes them to trip on their own 2 feet and fall right back into certain sins. Oh, that's right. That's the plot of the enemy. And if that is happening with you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, oh God, forgive me, and keep moving forward. And cut those things off in your life that's hindering you. Oh, that's right. Oh, yes. See, the enemy will bring Mr. Charming or princes your way, and it's not from God. You need to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ fully and watch what He will do in His time. Can I get an amen? That's right. You see, Saints, Paul, he prayed. He prayed for the Philippians. He thanked God for them. And he prayed with a heart full of joy. And this is the first of many times that Paul used the word joy in this letter, coming from an itinerant preacher imprisoned for his faith. Joy would be the last attitude one would expect, wouldn't it? Oh, that's right. But Paul had joy despite his imprisonment and the uncertain decision on this case. True joy rises above the rolling waves of circumstance, my friends. True joy keeps us on an even keel, no matter how happy or sad we might feel. You got to remember, it's not about feelings, it's about faith. And one reason for Paul's joy was that the Philippians had been his partners in spreading the good news, as I mentioned, through their generous contribution to Paul's ministry. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 6 here. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I need you to meditate on that scripture for a moment, saints of God. You see, God started a beautiful thing in your life, and He's going to complete it. If you're truly a born-again child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. And so, knowing that scriptural fact and the reality that we've been born of God with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, we can take joy knowing that His perfect plan for our life will not get thwarted by the enemy, and we can't even stumble on our own self and thwart the plan of God. Because whatever He started, we just read, He will complete it. Saints, this verb test indicates that Paul had been sure from the first, and he was still sure that very day of God's continued work to transform the lives of the Philippian believers as He is transforming us today. Praise God. And the good work refers to God's salvation and continued perfecting of the believers. Praise God. God, who began a good work of redemption, will continue His work until it finally finishes when believers meet Jesus Christ face to face when He comes back again. And I can't wait for that moment, saints of God. Paul was describing the process of Christian growth and maturity that begins when people accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing in this life or after death can stop God's good work, hallelujah, in us. Praise God. Look what it says here. When he wrote to the book of Romans, he wrote this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew. That means He knew us. He also predestinated us, meaning in His determined mind, He has set forth a plan for you and I to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at this. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Oh, that's right. That's right. You and I who have been justified by His his grace, it's though that it's just as if we never sinned. And glorified meaning he sees us already in our glorified state. Look at verse 31. What then we shall say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? Wow. Wow. Look at this. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? I need a pause right there. Who can point a finger at you and slander you and backbite you and say malicious things about you? No one can. They may say it at their evil-mindedness, but God will never do that, because no one can bring a charge to God's elect. And we've been elected by God. Praise God. So God is with us, and he's for us, and he's watching over us, and he's protecting us. So no matter what man says, the only one we need to fear is what God would do to us. And it's already written. God has a wonderful plan for you and I. Let's go back to the scripture right here. Look at this. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Look at this. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Say that with me at home, saints. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody need to give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Because that's how God looks at us. That's how God sees us. Hallelujah. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I don't care what was said about you. I don't care what was slandered about you. I don't care what predicament you're in right now. But God, hallelujah, loves us all the way till we cross the finish line. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. And so, saints, despite any persecution in the church in Philippi might face, Paul was confident that God would continue his good work in him. Hallelujah. And so we're closing in our last verse of scripture in verse 7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Did you catch that? It's the grace of God, saints. It is the grace of God. You see, my friends, Paul knew that his feeling of confidence in the Philippians was right because of his personal relationship that he had with them and the knowledge of their sincere faith in Christ. These believers held a special place in Paul's heart. And all the believers shared the blessings of God. Hallelujah. As Paul sat in prison in Rome, he knew that the Philippians suffered as well because they kept their deep concern and love for him. Paul knew that the church was constantly praying on his behalf, saints of God. And so as I close, the Philippians also shared in defending the truth and telling others the good news through their support of Paul's ministry across the world, both when he was in prison and when he was out. Saints of God, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is soon to come. I've alluded to that in the very beginning of this message. And you can see right there. Look at this. The clouds to my right, the clouds to my left, the clouds behind me. Jesus is coming again. He's coming soon. And the Bible says that those who are looking for his appearing are the ones he is coming for. Oh, that's right. And the Bible's clear that my sheep hear my voice. And so Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church to show us that the day we are living in, this generation, is the generation I truly believe that's going to meet the Lord in the clouds. Look what it says in the Word of God right here. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Saints of God, the next greatest event that the world is going to witness is Jesus coming for us, the bride of Christ. And the dead is going to bust open their graves and they're going to go before us. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. I'm excited about this verse of scriptures. Why? Because soon and very soon we're going to see the King. And we're going to be removed from these bodies of flesh that are decaying. They're growing old. They're growing weary. Oh, that's right. Some of our bodies are diseased. Some of them have pain and aches and sorrow. God's going to wipe away all that. God's going to give us a brand new body. Look what he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? That God has a perfect plan for you and I. And soon and very soon it's going to take place. Oh, that's right. And so, I'm here to encourage you to look up. For Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. But I'm also giving a plead, a heart cry right now to those who have never been born again. To those maybe have come to church and maybe have joined a church, but you've never been born of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the Bible says, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The key is to have a life that has repented before a holy God. And then once repentance takes place, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that he came to die on a cross for us, and that God raised him from the dead. When that type of repentance takes place, then God applies his blood. His blood then covers and washes away our sin. And then he does something else. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. And then that is the deposit, the guarantee that when Jesus comes back, look at that, in the clouds, he will come back for you and I. But if that hasn't taken place with you just yet, don't let this little clip I'm going to show you happen to you. Let's go there.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week. or he could even come.
See, my friends, this doesn't have to happen to you. The ones that were left behind were the ones that were playing church. They had a name tag, brother and sister so-and-so, but they were never born again. They were, like my older brother would say, they were faking the funk. Yeah, they were playing church, but they weren't the church. God is coming back for the real church. And listen, all you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the key scriptures that we adhere to is found in the book of Acts, right up here. Peter wrote this down and said, then Peter said to them, actually Luke wrote it down, but heard Peter preaching this very first sermon on the feast of Pentecost. Then Peter said to them, repent! And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, let's go back now and recap everything. God wants to give us this great joy in this peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who have never come to that place just yet, it's not too late. All you have to do is bow your heart and your head with me right now and cry out to God in a sinner's prayer and allow God to do the miraculous. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me for you and watch God do the miraculous in your life. So pray this wonderful prayer. Bow your heart and your head. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Someone just gave their heart to Christ. Listen, down below is our website. Log on. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you and for you and lead you to a church that'll teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so, my friends, we are so mighty thankful for this evening. And I hope you were blessed with the introduction of the book of Philippians. Also down below, for all of you that have been so faithful to the ministry, we thank you, for your donations are deeply appreciated. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to leave you our benediction and end this evening's study. Looking forward to see you all on Sunday morning at 10:30. And so the Bible says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we love you guys. God bless you. And we hope to see you Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. live in person service at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Love you. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.